Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Coming to you from the Circa Sportsbook here in downtown Las Vegas, I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, as we have reached the point in the calendar where we will now have football on every single Saturday leading you into Sunday here on this Cashing Out program. We have preseason football here today on this Saturday. We have a game coming up momentarily. We also have a game tomorrow that will wrap up week two of the NFL preseason. And then next week, week zero of the college football season begins. We do have games all day on Saturday, including a game on Saturday night here in Vegas, which we'll get into. And then, of course, the following week, week one of the college football season, week one of the NFL season. Like, we are here. We have made it. And now it's time to rejoice. I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live as preseason football week number two continued a similar trend that we saw in week number one of the NFL preseason. And that is the dogs are barking. In week one of the NFL preseason, all you had to do if you wanted to be profitable was just bet on the underdogs in every single game. 13-3 against the spread, the underdogs went in week one of the NFL preseason. Here so far in week number two, we were 4-1 coming into today with the games that were played on Thursday and Friday. 5-2 today. I'm counting the one game that is not over yet, but for all intents and purposes, it is over, where the Chicago Bears closed as the favorite against the Cincinnati Bengals. They're going to lose that game outright. Cincinnati right now with a 27-9 lead with under 5 minutes to go in that fourth quarter. So I'm counting that as a win for the dog in the Bengals. That brings today's record to 5-2, combined with the 4-1 record that we had from Friday and Thursday. We're sitting at 9-3 against the spread for the underdogs so far here in week two of the NFL preseason. Games still not decided. Eagles right now with a 21-17 lead over the Patriots with under 2 minutes to go in that game. This one's going to be tricky to grade because it's depending on your book. And we see it a lot of times in the NFL preseason where you'll have these games that are lined at 1 to 1.5, and it's dependent on the book as to which side is the favorite and which side is the dog. Certain books have more liability on one team and they flip that team to the favorite, and another book will be different and they have the other team as the favorite. This is the perfect example. Eagles and Patriots, you could have gotten -1.5 for either of these teams. Or, like I said, we're talking about playing the dogs, you could have gotten +1.5 on either of these teams. And then we have the Chiefs against the Tampa Bay Bucs right now. That's in the fourth quarter, but fourth quarter pretty much just got started. Chiefs with a 15-10 lead over Tampa in this game. Harrison Butker for Kansas City, a 69-yard field goal. This shouldn't surprise anybody because this is nothing new. We know with the change to the K-balls a couple of seasons ago, kickers are kicking the field goals longer and longer. And it's just the new way of the NFL. No longer is it, my goodness, it's a 60-yard field goal. Now it's Cam Little, 70 yards in the preseason. Harrison Butker, 69 yards. It doesn't matter. Teams are kicking longer field goals now and trusting their kickers to kick it. It's amazing. We're still, like, I think the most amazing part of it is just how regular it's become for these 65-plus yard field goals to be made. And so that's what we had here going on between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Tampa Bay Bucs. A game that is kicking off momentarily in Arizona. The Dallas Cowboys and the Arizona Cardinals. It is the third preseason game for the Cardinals, who played the Hall of Fame game, and it is the second preseason game for the Dallas Cowboys. Here's what we know about who will play in this game tonight. For Dallas, it appears that Joe Milton will get the start at quarterback. Sam Howell will take over for Joe Milton later in the game. For the Arizona Cardinals, Gardner Minshew will get the start. Jacoby Brissett's not going to play in this game. Carson Beck is still kind of injured. He's not going to play in this game. So Gardner Minshew's going to start. Keaton Slovis will play the rest of the way for the Arizona Cardinals. I think that Dallas has the edge in the second half in this game. Now I'm going to wait to see who gets the ball first, who wins the coin toss, and who gets the ball first, because that's going to affect my second half play here. if Dallas kicks off to start this game, because of who we know is going to play in the second half, I actually think that Dallas is a play in the second half. And if you know that they're going to get the football to start the third quarter, that's an extra possession right there in the third quarter that you're going to have. So it makes the bet even stronger. But with Joe Milton passing to Sam Howell for the Cowboys versus Gardner Minshew in the first half, which I do like for Arizona, but then going to Keaton Slovis, I think I like the Cowboys' depth a little bit more than the Arizona Cardinals. Plus, there's a key thing here with both of these teams. Because Arizona is playing their third preseason game, this is their opportunity to get more of a look at the third and fourth string players that are trying to make the practice squad and trying to make the roster. They already know what their 53-man is going to look like. And they've had two preseason games already to get the starters and the second stringers some look. We know Jeremiah Love has the ankle sprain. He's not going to play anymore in the preseason. You don't need to see him in the preseason. He played the ridiculous amount of snaps against the Raiders, and then you don't need to see him anymore. Jacoby Brissett played against the Raiders. He looked good. You don't need to see Jacoby Brissett anymore. And Gardner Minshew, you know exactly what you're going to get out of him. Carson Beck looked great in the Hall of Fame game. I'm sure you'd like to see him get more preseason snaps, and maybe that's what's going to happen in their fourth preseason game next week, and that's the advantage that they have playing in the Hall of Fame game as opposed to other teams. But this is the opportunity now for them to get a look at other players deeper on the depth chart. And so that's why I think in the second half of this game, where the Cowboys might still have some second stringers and third stringers out there fighting for playing time, the Cardinals might go third and fourth stringers. And in the NFL preseason, that makes all the difference. The Cardinals kicked off, so the Cowboys do have the ball first, meaning the Cardinals will start with the football in the third quarter. So no bets right now, but we'll wait and see how this first half plays out. Joe Milton again at quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys to start this game. He will hand it off to Sam Howell for the rest of the game. And for the Arizona Cardinals, Gardner Minshew will start at quarterback. Keaton Slovis will play the bulk of the game. That is the important thing that you have to factor in when you're betting the NFL preseason. And yes, betting the NFL preseason can be extremely profitable. I can't stand people that take a hard-nose stance on anything in life. But when it comes to betting, there's no definitive stance. If you are somebody that says, I'm not betting the NFL preseason, that's degen status. One, you're wrong, but okay, that's your opinion. You don't have to bet the NFL preseason. But I promise you, and you've heard enough of it here on this network, that there are various professional bettors that do this for a living that make a lot of money betting the NFL preseason. Now, it's not as much as the regular season because we know the limits are low. But why are the limits low? Because the books don't know exactly how to price these games. There's a reason why the underdogs are dominating. Because the market's trying to set a line based off of who we think is going to play, who has the better roster, maybe who has the better first string or second string roster, but we don't know how to grade these fourth string players. We don't know how to grade coach motivation late in the second half. We think that first year head coaches want to win, and that's why some of them get money. But what have we seen with the money so far in the NFL preseason? The steam moves are all wrong. All wrong. I mean, we saw that happen in week number one of the NFL preseason. Evan Abrams of the Action Network did a good job of detailing this. 0-9. 0-9. Anything that you show, right, where the steam moved 1.5 points, it went 0-9 here in the NFL in week one of the preseason. So week number two, we saw it already earlier in the week, that Texans game on Thursday, flip-flop, back and forth. This Eagles-Patriots game, flip-flop, back and forth. You know, we've seen teams take a ton of money, go from 1.5 favorites, 2.5 to 4. The Titans are up to 4.5-point favorites against the Seahawks tomorrow. Are we supposed to chase that steam? two schools of thought. One, you fade this team, which was extremely profitable in week number one of the preseason. As I mentioned, you were 9-0 fading this team. But some would say, because the limits are so low, that it all it takes is, you know, one respected bettor to move the market here in the NFL preseason. Someone here at Circa comes down to the window and bets a limit bet on one of these preseason games. Guess what? It's going to move the market. But I think one of the best ways to bet the NFL preseason is to take advantage of the different pricing across all of these sports books. I told you to start the show when I'm grading out these underdog plays, the Eagles and the Patriots, that game plus 1.5, you could have on both of these teams. Now, yeah, there's a way you can play both sides and then try and middle if the game lands on one. Right now, 24-21, Patriots lead the Eagles. 41 seconds left in that game. But depending on which side that you like, it's one of those games where, like, no one, we always say all the time, no one should lose. Because if you liked one side, you should have gotten the best of the number because it was available for you at a book. And in the NFL preseason, you see that more times than not. Price differences across all of these sports books. I'm Scott Satterberg, always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSIN Live. Coming up next, why the Cleveland Browns already know who their starting quarterback is going to be. And there's only one way they can go with that decision. It's Cashing Out here on VSIN.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Back here on Cashing Out, I'm Scott Seidenberg with you on VSIN, the sports betting network. It feels so good to be back on the Saturday night Cashing Out program, where throughout the course of the NFL season, it's a very heavy NFL show. We'll do some college football recap, like usually in the first hour or so, thing, you know, the biggest story from the Saturday in college football, right? We'll touch on the late game that will be ending or in progress by the time we hit the air at 7 o'clock Pacific time, 10 o'clock Eastern time on Saturday nights. But our main focus is, you know, primarily dealing with the next day, the NFL Sunday that's to come. And that will include everything that we did last season and more, which is the trench reports, which were extremely profitable last year. I mean, my goodness, if you're new to this program, you are certainly in for something, a real treat that I bring to you each and every Saturday night. Plus our contest plays, we'll have great guests throughout the course of the NFL season, previewing the NFL slate for Sundays. It's a great show, and I'm so happy to be back with football season. During the summer when we're doing the Saturday night shows, it's a little different, right? It's a lot of Major League Baseball, games in progress. We're doing the UFC fights on a big Saturday card, but nothing beats talking football, and it's contest season. Everyone's out here signing up for the Circa contest. Look, we got $30 million in guaranteed prizes. You can cash in this football season with three Circa sports contests. Entries starting at $1,000, all with no rake. That means every dollar stays in the prize pool. You got Circa Millions, 18 weeks with 128 ways to win. Circa Survivor, pick one winner each week, last one standing wins. And of course, Circa Grandissimo for the high rollers, $100,000 entry. Enter in Nevada, play from anywhere, $30 million guaranteed. Visit circasports.com for details. Yesterday, I was down at Stadium Swim, part of the fantasy football, national fantasy football weekend, right? It's fantasy football draft weekend. The guys at Draft Nation put on an incredible event, still going on today. And speaking of that, we're going to be joined in studio coming up a little bit later on by fantasy football expert Michael Fabiano, right? You know his work. SI Fantasy does an incredible job. Also, Doug Kazarian's in here in the building, so he'll come into the studio, join me for a little bit, talk some football. Might have some other surprise guests pop in that are here for that fantasy football event. But yesterday I was at Stadium Swim talking to a lot of people about the Circa contests and just reminiscing about the times where, you know, you might have gotten close, the times where we were eliminated. I'm sure everybody's watching the Circa Survivor documentary, which if you miss it, Wednesdays here on VSIN, you can catch it on YouTube, on the VSIN Live YouTube page. And I remember, like, you know, I was eliminated last year with Arizona, right? When DeMercado dropped the ball at the goal line against the Titans, as a lot of people were eliminated from Circa Survivor that week. But then, you know, there was the season before where I was eliminated with the Bengals in week one, and then I bought back in and was eliminated again with the Cincinnati Bengals. But I was reminiscing a time last season. And the beauty of Circa Millions is that even if your season-long card is dead, you still have opportunities to cash the quarterly prizes. And that's where I was last season, where in one of the four-week quarters, I started weeks one, two, and three. Not weeks one, two, and three of the season. It was like weeks, you know, like the third quarter of the season. I was 14-1. It's the best three-week stretch I've ever had. And I'm sitting here thinking, holy smokes, I'm in the running for a quarterly prize. I just got to have a good week next week, and I'm in. Like $100,000, $75,000, $25,000, it's happening, right? You go 14-1 in a three-week span, you're in it. I went 0-5 the next week. So I didn't cash anything. First place in that quarter went, I think it was 18-2, and I think like two people split it at 18-2, and then like five people went 17-3 or something like that. So it was like I would have had to just run so good in that final week. But those are the roller coasters that happen during the Circa Millions contest and Circa Survivor as well. So I can't wait for another season of contest entries, and we talk about it, of course, here on the Saturday Night Cashing Out program each and every week leading into NFL Sundays. As always, you can hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSIN Live. We're monitoring the late preseason action. The game did go final between the Patriots and the Eagles. It was a 24-21 win by the New England Patriots. Right now, the Tampa Bay Bucs have a 16-15 lead over the Kansas City Chiefs with 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, and no score between the Cowboys and the Cardinals, 7:45 to go in that first quarter. Cowboys are threatening, though, as Gardner Minshew was just intercepted, and the Cowboys have the football at the Arizona 12-yard line. So Minshew throws a pick, Cowboys instant red zone opportunity. We'll keep an eye on this game, see if there's any live betting opportunities that present itself throughout the program. But earlier today, the Cleveland Browns played their second preseason game, and it didn't go well. 31-7, the Browns lose to the Buffalo Bills, 0-2 so far here in this preseason. They lost their first preseason game to the Chicago Bears, 34-10. So they've been outscored 65-17 in two preseason games. We know it's not going to be a good season for the Cleveland Browns. Like, we know they're going to be in contention for one of the worst records in the NFL. Although I have heard actually some respected NFL people talk about how the Browns could be a sneaky team. I don't see it because you don't have a quarterback. Let's talk about the quarterback position here. For the Cleveland Browns, the battle for number one continues between Deshaun Watson and Shedeur Sanders. Sanders started the game 9 of 11 passing, 74 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. Deshaun Watson, 5 of 12 passing for 36 yards and an interception. That's not good. And Deshaun Watson, frankly, has not been good at all. He hasn't been good since he came to the Cleveland Browns when he was healthy for a little bit of time. He obviously had the major injuries and continues to not play well here for the Cleveland Browns. During the game, he goes in. It's his first home game, by the way, playing for the Cleveland Browns in this preseason. And as soon as he comes into the game, he's booed. And you know something? As a football fan, as a fan of any team in any sport, you are well within your rights to voice your opinion. You want to boo? You go ahead and boo. Me personally, I thought that the boos for Deshaun Watson were not exactly directed towards Deshaun Watson, but kind of directed towards the entire saga that is Deshaun Watson, right? It's voicing your frustrations, not just at the man himself, who is a shell of what he was, but also just the whole situation being a mess. the organization trading what they traded, what they gave up for the Texans to acquire him, the multiple picks, and then signing him to the five-year guaranteed $230 million deal. The whole saga was a, and continues to be, a disaster. So for the fans booing when Deshaun Watson steps onto the field, part of it is, yes, Deshaun, you stink, but also part of it is just, we're tired of seeing this guy. We're tired of hearing about him. This one move has set back our organization years. Well, Deshaun Watson did a Michael Jordan last dance because, no, not going out and win a championship. I'm saying he took it personally. Here was Deshaun Watson after the Browns' preseason week two loss to the Buffalo Bills.
Man, I didn't have no reaction. I think the biggest thing is, I think you guys know too, and I think the whole world knows, it has nothing to do about the performance. It's a little bit personal than that, so. I think that's it's a disrespectful thing. I'm going to keep whatever I feel with me and my family internally on how I feel about that. Just move on.
But don't you think, Deshaun, that winning and playing better would eliminate some of that booing?
Last time I played on this field, I tore my Achilles. And that same fan base, they cheered when I got hurt. So... Does that have to do with, what does that have to do with anything about performance? When a person get hurt, especially for your own city, and they cheer.
Look, does that sound like a player that, one, you should name QB1, but more importantly, does that sound like a player that wants to be QB1? Todd Monken's decision is clear now. Shedeur Sanders is the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. And what the organization should honestly do is just cut their losses, suck up the cap hit, and release Deshaun Watson. Get rid of the headache and be done with it. Dylan Gabriel is your number two. Shedeur Sanders is your number one. And see if you draft a quarterback next year after you finish with a terrible record this year. But to even consider starting Deshaun Watson after hearing that, in his post-game press conference, he's lost the team, he's lost the locker room, the fan base, he's lost the city. He does not want to be there, so send him on his way. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashing Out, I'm Scott Seidenberg with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at Scott's On Air and at VSiN Live. It is week two of the NFL preseason, and you know I got trends for you. We're going to talk about what we've seen so far in the preseason and what does it make us want to bet in week three of the preseason. Also, how do we handle week three of the preseason? Because we know that the preseason has changed, obviously, since 2021. There's three preseason games, not four anymore. The Hall of Fame game teams played the four games. But it's so different now than it used to be in the NFL preseason. Like the NFL preseason, when it was the 4 weeks, we knew exactly what to expect. You knew the starters did not play in the first preseason game or played a series, and that's it. You knew in the second preseason game, the starters played either a series or two or the entire first quarter, and that's it. And then week three of the preseason, the final dress rehearsal, where the starters played the entire first half, and sometimes coaches wanted to see one series to start the third quarter, just so you get accustomed to coming out of the locker room, getting warmed up again, and going back out there on the field. And in week four, it was all about the practice squad guys, right? Nobody played in week four of the NFL preseason. That's what it always was. And I like that system. But ever since we've gone to a three-week preseason, I think the first year, it was a really big adjustment period for these teams. I still think that, and also post-COVID everything, I still think year two was a little bit of an adjustment. Now we've gotten to a point where the joint practices that go on during the week between these teams has increased significantly to the point where the starters aren't playing really at all in the preseason because the coaches got what they needed out of the joint practices. And that's what any coach will tell you. If you interview any coach on this network, wherever, they will tell you that they get more out of joint practices than they do out of a preseason game. Because in the joint practices, you get your live looks, right? Your ones against their ones. But also, it's controllable. So you can, you obviously, you work out a plan with the opposing coach and you say, hey, we're working on red zone today. Okay, awesome. Now let's work on red zone drills. Hey, we're working on two-point conversions today. Hey, let's work on two-point conversions. Hey, we're working on third and long right now. Let's work on third and long. And you just keep running the reps and running the reps and running the reps. It's controllable. So coaches get so much now out of these joint practices where a couple of years ago, we didn't have a lot of joint practices. And if we did, it was like one day where the two teams would get together like the week that they're playing each other in the preseason. They'd get together on like that Friday or Thursday, have joint practices, and then play the preseason game on the Friday or the Saturday or whatever, right? But now we're seeing these teams have joint practices all week. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, preseason game on Friday or Saturday. Multiple days of joint practices. And then we're getting the reports from these joint practices, which is why I say, like, betting the NFL preseason, information is king. Follow the beat reporters, you know, read into the blogs and what people are saying about these joint practices, because the coaches will tell you, oftentimes in the press conference, or the writers will tell you, hey, it was a competitive week of joint practices. It got very physical. There were a couple of altercations. And so both coaches feel no need to play their starters in the preseason. Here's who we're going to see. Or something, one team, the one coach didn't like what they saw in joint practices all week. Hey, this coach didn't like the way that they couldn't run against the opponent. So the first team offensive line is going to play here in the preseason to start the game with the first team quarterback and running back, and they're going to try and run the ball and see if they can score on their opening drive and then come out of the game. It's important to keep an eye on these things, but I think the joint practices have changed really everything about the way these coaches handle the preseason now. But here's some numbers on the NFL preseason, going back to that 2021 season and how it's doing so far this year. Again, 2021 was the year where the preseason, the NFL schedule changed, right? The 17-game schedule instead of the 16-game schedule, and the preseason went from 4 games to 3 games. So I tracked all these trends, and here's ones that I thought really stood out to me, because whenever I give out trends, and you guys, if you've been listening to me long enough, you've been watching me long enough on VSiN or on any other show that I do, you know I love me some trends, right? But it's not just play a trend for playing a trend's sake. It's play a trend when I can explain it, when it makes sense to me why. I need to understand the reasoning why a trend is hitting, not just because it's hitting. And so you'll never see me give out a trend that just says, oh, you know, dogs on a Thursday after a road, you know, like ran on 30 degree weather when the opponent is coming off of a win. No. You'll hear me give out things like when it's rest situations, travel situations, other things like why market bias, like recency bias is a huge thing. One of the things that I actually bet the most on is fading recency bias in football, because I know the market and the public react accordingly based on what they just saw. So I like to bet against that, and we'll do a lot of it over the course of the season here. Also, the trenches, we know we love the trenches, but trends to me, I like to understand. Like, here's a big one for me. I looked at embarrassed teams. I call them embarrassed dogs in the NFL preseason. So going back to the 2021 season, if you lose your preseason game by 10 or more points, and then you're a dog the next week, how do you do? Well, those teams coming into this week, 21-14 against the spread. And think about that. You were just embarrassed. You just lost by double digits for whatever reason. Maybe you just don't have enough the same amount of talent as the team that you played against. Now the market doesn't believe in you because you're listed as an underdog once again, because you're probably a bad team. And how do you do? You respond by covering. You go 21-14 against the spread. But in those games, the largest margin was found in the second halves of those preseason games. So not only were these teams going 21-14 against the spread, it was in the second half where they were showing the largest margin of success. And the reason I believe is because in the second half, you have players, third string and fourth string players, that are playing for their jobs. And if you just got embarrassed the week before, you lost by double digits, this week, you got to be a little bit more focused. You have to play a little bit harder. I know it's still the preseason and you want to leave something left in the tank, but for these guys trying to make rosters, you can't hold anything back. You can't leave anything in the tank because another bad performance and you're getting cut. You see, the starters that start the game don't have to worry about that. And when it's starters versus starters in the first half, that's why we don't see that big of an edge. But when it's backups against backups in the second half, and those embarrassed dogs, those backups are thriving in the second half in those games, it makes sense to me because they're playing harder coming off of that loss because they're playing for their jobs. And for the coaches as well. You want to send your team with some, you know, into the next week with some positive vibes. You want to carry some momentum into your next game. You don't just want to run the clock out and concede the loss and just avoid injury. No, you're probably coaching to score some points in the second half because you were just embarrassed the week before. So this week it's been a little bit of a mixed bag, but also depending on the book that you looked at, this is why it's important. So the Texans and Raiders flip-flopped. Both of them got beat by double digits the week before. Both of them kind of were dogs at one point. If you played the Raiders as a dog, that was a cover for you. If you played the Texans as a dog, well, if you got plus two, it was a push because they lost by 2 points. But both of those teams qualified as embarrassed dogs at one point. The Packers, who were an embarrassed dog, they beat the Broncos outright. The Falcons, an embarrassed dog, they beat the Colts outright. The Dolphins, an embarrassed dog. Well, they got embarrassed again because, let's just face it, the Dolphins are not a good football team, and they're just not going to be a good football team here as they did not look good again here in week two of the NFL preseason against the New York Giants. You know, when it comes to the Dolphins, they actually it was Malik Willis on their opening drive scored a touchdown, and I think they've gone 19 consecutive drives like after that with just doing absolutely nothing offensively. Look, week zero of college football is basically here, guys, and the NFL regular season's fast approaching, so now's the time to get your edge with VSiN Pro. Join VSiN Pro today, get instant access to both our college football and NFL betting guides, packed with team previews, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from VSiN's top analysts. And that's just the start, because you'll also get the daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Start today for just $9.99 or save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe.
Cashing out here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on Cashing Out, I'm Scott Seidenberg with you on VSiN, the sports betting network. Always on Twitter at Scott's On Air and at VSiN Live. Coming up at the top of the hour, we are likely going to be joined by fantasy football analyst Michael Fabiano, formerly of the NFL Network, working for SI Fantasy. Fabs came on last year, same time last year, and gave out his best bet, which was Saquon Barkley under the rushing yards, right? Under season-long rushing yards. And that was like the easiest rocking chair winner that I think we've given out here on the program. I do have a season-long under that I will give out to you guys in a couple of minutes. So there's a little teaser. I'm not going to make you wait for that. I'll give it out here. But Fabs will join us coming up at the top of the hour. Likely, he's in town here for the National Fantasy Football Draft Weekend with Draft Nation. A whole bunch of other fantasy football analysts are here as well. So we're going to see if they can pop into the studio over the course of the night. There's also former NFL players here at Circa hanging out. We just saw Adrian Peterson out in the hallway. Austin Eckler was here yesterday. We got Jeff Garcia, I believe, and a couple other. Earl Thomas was here yesterday. So the illuminaries are walking around. We'll see if we can corral them and bring them in here on the show, talk some football. But Michael Fabiano will join us from SI Fantasy. Will give us, hopefully, some best bets coming for the NFL season. We'll also be joined by our very own Doug Kazarian. We'll pop in studio as well. And coming up a little bit later on, Greg Peterson will talk some baseball. As I know we're in football mode now, but baseball's still going on, and it's getting very interesting what's going on here in Major League Baseball. Now, the other day, was it yesterday, I think it was, we had a sweep of favorites in Major League Baseball. And I know that everyone wants to advertise that, like, oh my goodness, the favorites all won. And I saw all the sports books tweet out, like, if you bet every favorite yesterday, you parlayed all 15 or whatever, you won how much money? It hasn't been a good season for favorites in Major League Baseball. It just hasn't. Here's the numbers right now. Like, okay, yesterday was a great day for favorites. Let's see. Friday, we had, yeah. In fact, favorites have won, my goodness, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 straight games. That includes some early games today, 19. We'll have to see how today's results played out. But yeah, favorites went on a great run yesterday. But on the season, if all you did was bet every favorite in Major League Baseball, you are a negative 4.2%, a negative 4% ROI. You're actually a negative 4.2% ROI if you bet on against every favorite. So you're negative either way. But favorites this year are hitting at 56.4%. If you bet every favorite this year, you are down $11,841. Just let that sink in. Let that sink in. If you look at, let's see, over the past couple of years, so this year favorites are hitting at 56.4%. Again, a negative 4% ROI. Last year, if you bet all favorites, oh my goodness, 55.8%, a negative 6.1% ROI. 2024, 57.4%, negative 3.5% ROI. 2023, 56.9%, a negative 5.6% ROI. Yeah, it's cool when they advertise that the favorites have all dominated, but you are negative. You are down money just blindly tailing all these favorites. And this year, again, it's not as bad as it has been in previous years, but you're still a negative 4% ROI. Last year was even worse at negative 6.1% ROI. It's been an interesting Major League Baseball season. It's been, I'll be full disclosure. I mean, I'll never shy away from any of my losses. This is probably my worst baseball betting season ever. And I don't know if it's because I've been like consumed with some other things, like, you know, building some things on the side that like I'm gearing up for football, that I haven't been so locked into baseball as I have been in the past, or if this year has just been flukier than others. I mean, I've heard it from a lot of people where just the numbers aren't kind of playing out the way that they used to play out. You know, a lot of the predictive numbers that us baseball bettors have, you know, grown to love and trust are just not flying this season. And is it because the books are adjusting and we're having to pay more of a price on these favorites, or we're not getting enough value on these dogs anymore, or are the prop markets just priced sharper because the books are getting better, or are the numbers just not as predictive? Are the players not performing, you know, like they, you know, had performed? I don't know the answer. I don't think there's one true answer. I think there's many answers. But it hasn't been a good baseball season for me. And recently, like, I've kind of, you know, shied away from betting baseball as I've been in real football, you know, study and build mode here. But there's still plenty of advantages to take in Major League Baseball, and especially once we get into this next month of September, where the sportsbooks are so heavily focused on setting the markets for college football and the NFL, I think that's going to be a time where we could actually regain those edges in the baseball betting markets, because the sportsbooks will be so consumed with the larger limit bets and the volume of bets that they take on football that they might be less sharper when it comes to player props in Major League Baseball, when it comes to setting these lines every single day in Major League Baseball. So while I take a step back away now, I'm going to be going back in, you know, a couple of weeks here once we start football season to see if I can get those edges that we used to get. And I also think that we get to a time in the season where, you know, now favorites are kind of playing out. And I think that it happens by month as well, where favorites kind of dominate historically over the months. Like, let's see, from the start, we always like to go post-COVID. So since the start of the 2021 season here, I want to look at how favorites do by month in Major League Baseball, because we are getting to a point here at the end of the season where the haves are separating themselves from the have-nots. Trade deadline's in the rearview mirror. Now it's about the race for the postseason. Certain teams will fall out of the race, and we'll start to see them call up some prospects, and those players will start to show themselves here in Major League Baseball, and then other teams will continue to play their A team and get ready here for the postseason push. By month, since the start of the 2021 season, we're just talking about favorites here. Just favorites, okay? Let's see. Your negative ROI with favorites in general, but your best month is August, believe it or not. 59.8% straight up for favorites in the month of August since the start of the 2021 season. Shouldn't really surprise you that favorites swept the board yesterday. August is the best month for favorites in Major League Baseball since the start of the 2021 season. On the run line, your best month for run line favorites is very close between March, the early, you know, when there's games in March to start the year, and August. And then September. So August and September, the two best months for favorites on the run line. Interesting. For their best over months in Major League Baseball, we are at March and then October. Your best over months in Major League Baseball. Again, since the start of the 2021 season. Something to keep an eye on. I mentioned we have a football season-long player prop. We will get to that coming up here at the top of the hour. Hopefully, we will be joined by Michael Fabiano from Sports Illustrated Fantasy, also Locked On Dynasty and the Fantasy Football Forecast podcast. He's a Fantasy Football Hall of Famer, obviously formerly of NFL Network and NFL Media. He'll join us in studio. I want to get some of his best season-long prop edges, but I will give you one of my season-long props that I have already bet. So I'm starting to put together my portfolio of season-long props. I will give you a season-long player prop that I have already bet on coming up in about 5 minutes. But most people think sports betting is about picking winners. Ungambled is built on a different idea: matched betting and arbitrage. It's a tool that teaches you how to use sportsbook bonuses and promotional offers to capture value whether or not your side covers. And Ungambled backs it up. If you don't turn a profit on your bankroll in 8 weeks, they refund your membership. To learn more, start with a free guide at ungambled.com/vsin. That's ungambled.com/vsin, and use promo code VSIN for 10% off. Bet sharp, look square. I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter at Scott's On Air, ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSIN Live as cashing out continues right here on the Sports Betting Network.